Do you worry? Jean and Jan were worried. Rumors had been circulating for months that the plant where Jean worked was going to downsize and going to reduce production 25 to 30%. Therefore, that would entail layoffs at every level, even Jean's supervisory level. Now the news got out that the layoffs were going to start at the end of the month. Jean and Jan were overwhelmed by the uncertainty, bombarded by questions about the future. If I lose my job, will we be able to make it? How can we keep up with the house payments? What are we going to do about health insurance? What kind of a job can I get at age 56? Jean became increasingly quiet and withdrawn as the end of the month approached. Jan was waking up in the middle of the night and not able to get back to sleep. They were worried. Jean and Jan are Christians. They attend church regularly. They consider themselves to be spiritually mature Christians. They believe Christians shouldn't worry. They heard their pastor many times from the pulpit say, God will take care of you. But they were worried. They're kind of like a lot of other Americans. According to the book Worry Free Living, worry is, quote, the number one mental health disorder in America. According to Dr. James Jess, in a book Coping with Anxiety, he writes, anxiety is the official emotion of our age. Practically everything we do is colored by it. Charles Swindoll says in his book, Laugh Again, he calls worry the, quote, universal addiction. And then he writes, more people are addicted to worry than all other addictions combined. Now, I want to ask you, and you answer me, what do people worry about? What do people worry about?
Children.
Anybody here ever worry about your kids? Your children growing up in this world, right? Growing up in our society today, our grandchildren? Do we ever worry about that? I mean, my, oh my, our children, our maybe prodigal children? Do we worry about that? I read about one woman this last week who was going to counseling because she was waking up at night just worried about the spiritual welfare of her kids, her adult children. They weren't saved. Yeah. And she was worried so much, she was waking up at night and she needed help. She went to counseling. We worry about our children and grandchildren. What else do we worry about?
Health.
Health. You ever worry about your health? Go to the doctors. What am I going to find? What am I going to find? What's he going to find? What's he going to find, Bridget, right? What are they going to find? You know, our own health, the health of our loved ones. We worry about our health. What else?
Finances.
Anybody ever worry about finances? You know, what if? What's it going to be? What if I lose my job, like Jean and Jan? What if I lose my job? What's going to happen? Or, you know what? If I retire, is the money going to last? Am I going to make it? We worry about finance. What else?
Future.
Yeah. What if? What's going to happen tomorrow? We worry about the future. What else?
Fitting in.
Worried about fitting in. I'll tell you what. Young people worry about fitting in. We adults don't ever worry about that. Yeah, we do. fitting in? Am I going to fit in school or in with other people? Am I going to fit in? We worry about that. What else?
Transportation.
How am I going to get from here to there? Okay, we can worry about that. What else?
Our neighbors.
We worried about our neighbors. Okay, yeah, we worry about other people and our neighbors. We worry about our spouse. Okay. We worry about
the lost.
Okay, that's something we worry sometimes about, the lost people. What else do we worry about?
Safe transportation.
Oh, yeah. I've had people tell me, I'll never fly in an airplane. Not with terrorists out there. And I've had people tell me just last week, I'd never travel over to the Holy Land because of terrorism and this kind of thing. We worry about that. Safe transportation. What else?
We worry
about our government, those in Washington, D.C. Oh, my. Oh, we worry. What else? Anything else?
Worry about their salvation.
Okay. Their own salvation?
Their own salvation.
That's a good thing to worry about, by the way. There's some good worry, probably. What else? Anything else?
Drug epidemic.
The drug epidemic. Okay, the society and what's going on. Anything else?
Sick people.
Okay. Illnesses. This kind of thing. Yes, beautiful lady.
If you have somebody in the military, as we do in the reserves, and you have somebody in the reserves, I worry they might be deployed and have to go over there and fight ISIS.
Okay. Again, because our son Chris was already over in Iraq. Sometimes worry about that. I'll tell you what, people worry about a lot of things, don't they? Yeah, they do. Now I'm going to ask you something. And you got to be honest because this is church. You can go out the doors and you can be dishonest. But in church, you got to be honest. Look back over your week, this last week. How many of you, and I'm going to raise my hand on this because I've got to be honest too, worried this week, this last week? Oh my, okay. I lost a whole night's sleep over worry about something. And actually what I was worried about never happened anyhow, so just lost a whole night's sleep. We worry. But what does God have to say about worry? And how do you overcome worry? That's what we're going to look at today. Take your Bibles, open up to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And the Apostle Paul, when he wrote the letter to the Philippians, was in a Roman prison. This is one of what they call the prison epistles. He was in that Roman prison awaiting trial under one of the most evil, nefarious emperors that ever sat on the throne in Rome, and that was Nero. He was going to go before trial before Nero. His rights had been taken away. He had been unjustly charged and put in jail. And now his life hung in the balance. And yet when you read this little book of Philippians, what you find that Paul had great peace. He had joy. He had exuberant joy. He had hope. He was filled with thanksgiving. And I think it's all because he knew how not to really worry. He knew the secret of overcoming, how to whip worry. And he tells us this in chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. So let's read those together here. No, not together. You watch as I read, because we have all different translations here. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellent or anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Lord, as we look at these verses today, as we've already acknowledged before you, Lord, we tend to worry. And would you show us how to whip worry in our lives from these verses? Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Amen. Four instructions that Paul gives us in these verses that will help us to overcome worry. Instruction number one, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, just several things I want you to note about that. First of all, is the source of joy and praise. He says, rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord. The Lord is the source of our joy and the focus of our praise. And it doesn't say here, at least here, it doesn't say, rejoice in your circumstances. I'll tell you what, sometimes circumstances get mighty hard. Sometimes circumstances are really painful. Amen? You ever go through painful? I mean, we had even testimony here today. A lot of painful things. And I don't think Paul was rejoicing. Man, am I glad I'm in jail. Boy, this Mamertine prison is really neat. I don't think he was saying that. But he was rejoicing because he was rejoicing. He was focusing on Jesus. You see, where you focus has a lot to do with worry. When we focus on our circumstances, when we focus on the wind and the waves, I'll tell you, we sink down into worry. And so we need to look up and we need to rejoice in the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want you to note something about this too. When he says rejoice in the Lord, this is a command. In fact, this is interesting. This is a double command. Do you see what he says? Rejoice in the Lord and always and again I say rejoice. That's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. That's a command. It's not an option to be considered. It's a command to be obeyed. Rejoice in the Lord. And you see what it says there? Rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. Wait a second. Is that what that said? Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. Always. When you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. Right? I'll tell you what. There are times I don't feel like rejoicing in the Lord. And you know what? That's the time I need to what? Rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to be honest. We're in church. I got to be honest again. Sometimes I don't feel like coming to church. You know what? That's the time I need to come to church. I've noticed that on Wednesday night prayer meeting. Sometimes I am tired. And I have to say, you know, if I wasn't in the ministry, probably stay home tonight. But you know what? When I get to prayer meeting and we pray, I go away thinking, God, thank you. I needed to be in prayer meeting. When we don't feel like it, that's when we need to be there. And when we don't feel like praising, that's when we need to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord always. The whole letter, the whole Philippian letter, read it. It's filled with joy and praise. In fact, the word rejoice, rejoice, occur 15 times in these four chapters. I'll tell you, he's in prison, but he is rejoicing in the Lord always. And then he says in verse 5, let your gentle spirit, or King James, moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. You know what happens when we focus on the Lord and rejoice in him and praise him? God draws near. And you know, the nearness of God is our good. And the near in the presence of the Lord, there's exceeding joy. Joy. And you see, that's what he says. First thing we need to do, get your eyes off the circumstances
and get them up to the Lord and rejoice in Him and give Him praise. Now, I thought of just two illustrations of that in the Bible that I think are pretty neat. One chapter in the Bible, one of my favorites in the Old Testament, is 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In that chapter, it talks about Jehoshaphat, who was king of Judah. And during his reign, a large group came up, a large army of the enemies of God's people came up. There was Moabites, there was Ammonites, there was Meunites, and there were Phlebites. And they all, this whole big army came up. I mean, it was a vast army came up against the people of God. And you know what it says about Jehoshaphat? He became afraid. He was worried. It says he was worried and afraid. But, listen, he turned his attention to seek the Lord. And he said to the Lord, power and might are in your hand so that no one can stand before you. We are powerless before this great multitude who's coming up against us. Nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on you. Amen. See what he did? He took his eyes off the problem, off this great army. And he said, you know what, Lord? Instead of looking at that army and being worried and being overwhelmed with fear, I'm going to turn my eyes towards you. Amen. And God spoke to him then. When he did that, God responded. And God said this. He said, do not fear or be dismayed. Don't get worried. Don't be worried because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours. It's mine. It's God's. That's what he said. And then he told him, you know what? You're not even going to have to fight. He said, I'm going to fight the battle. It's my battle. So they got up early in the morning. They got they got the army all ready. And so they went out to see what God was going to do. But who did they put out in the front of the army? The choir. Is Drexy here today? I don't see Drexy. They put the choir out in front of the army. Isn't that something? I know the choir, the music department is the war department of the church. That's what they say. I don't know. But they put the choir out in front. And you know what it says in the Bible? When they began to sing and praise the Lord, God routed the army and won the battle. He caused the armies, all those armies, to be in confusion, and they fought with each other and they killed each other. And God's people didn't even have to fight. All they had to do was what? Praise the Lord. When they praised, God took care of the problem. You know, I think it's an illustration for us. You know what? When I tend to get worried, what we need to do is turn our focus on the Lord and rejoice in the Lord and praise the Lord. Amen. Now, another example of that, move to the New Testament, is the writer of this book. The Apostle Paul was a great example of what he was telling the Philippians. You remember when Paul first went to Philippi, he came there with Silas. They started ministering in the city. And what was the response? They grabbed them. They beat them with rods. You know? With rods. They took them, threw them into prison, into the dungeon of the prison. Put their feet in stocks. Now just think, if you were ministering for the Lord and somebody beat you with rods, put you in a dark, damp prison, in the dungeon, put your feet in stocks. I thought, what would I do? I would throw a party, a pity party. I'm trying to serve you, God. Look what happens. But they didn't do that. They didn't throw a pity party. They threw a party. They threw a Jesus party. That's what the Bible says. Acts 16. Read about it. It says at midnight, Paul and Silas were singing and praising the Lord. Amen. And the prisoners in the cell block there, they were all listening. And all of a sudden, A great earthquake hit that jail. I'll tell you, they rocked that jail. And that jail, the doors flew open, the chains fell off. And you know the rest of the story. The Philippian jailer comes in, falls down, and says, "What must I do to be saved?" Tell you, you talk about a witnessing opportunity. You know? "What must I do to be saved?" "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And he got saved. Went home, got his household saved. I'll tell you what, this Paul's not trafficking here in unlived truth. He's not telling you, you know, when you get in hard times, you know, rejoice in the Lord. But did he did it. He did it. He lived it. And they knew it. And he's just reaffirming it. When you tend to get worried, praise God. Get your focus off the problems, off the difficulties. Our eyes are on you, Lord. And we're going to give you praise. And when you do that, God will drive away the enemy of worry and give us victory. Amen? Amen? Amen. Are you worried? When we begin to worry, that's what we need to do. Praise the Lord. Secondly, we need to praise the Lord, but we need to then pray to the Lord. Verses 6 and 7. Pray to the Lord. In fact, two things he tells us in these verses. First of all, he says, worry about nothing. Worry about nothing. Be anxious for nothing. I think the King James Version says, careful. Be careful for nothing. The Greek word comes from two words, which mean one, to split. And the other one means mind. And that's what worry does. It works in our mind. Gets in our head, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but when I start to worry, the thoughts, especially in the middle of the night, man, my mind starts going and I just can't turn it off. And it just pulls, it wrenches apart your mind. It's interesting, the English word worry comes from the Anglo-Saxon. And you know what the Anglo-Saxon word means? It means to choke or to strangle. And I thought, you know what? That's what worry does. It chokes us. It strangles us. It's like, you remember the parable of the sower? And in Mark, I think it's in 14, where it says that the sower went out and was sowing seed, and he threw some of the seed into the thorns and the thistles. And you remember in the explanation of that, he said, the thorns and the thistles, they are the worries of the world. And what the worries of the world do is they choke out the seed. They choke out the word in our life and make us unfruitful. That's what worry does. It chokes us. It makes us unfruitful for the kingdom of God. Someone has written, worry is like rocking in a rocking chair. It takes a lot of your time, but you don't get any place. And that's true. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Worry about nothing. And this is it's a command. Yes. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. So here's what we must realize. What I've got to realize. Worry is a sin. It's a sin. It was George Mueller that said, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of faith is the end of worry. John Wesley said, to worry is to doubt God. Yep, it is as dishonoring as cursing or swearing. I say worry is unbelief in disguise. And so the Bible says, you know what? Worry about nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Instead, pray about everything. Amen. That's the second thing. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Paul uses three words there for prayer. The first one, prayer. That's the general Greek word for prayer. When you start to get worried, talk to God. Talk to God. God, I'm starting to get worried here. Talk to him. The second word, supplication. It's a word for prayer that that expresses dependence. A supplicant is coming and they're dependent on God. And that's what prayer is. Prayer and supplication, it's our declaration of dependence on God. Amen. When we think we can handle life on our own, you know what? We don't pray. It's when we realize, you know, Lord, I can't do this. I can't. You know what? I've tried to overcome worry in my life. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry. And you know what? I'm still worried. In fact, I worry about being worried. Do you ever do that? I mean, I'm being honest. I try to overcome it. I can't. Lord, I need you. And then the third word is requests. And that is being very specific, giving specific petitions to the Lord. And one thing I've learned, I don't always do it, but I know to do it, is in the middle of the night when I wake up and my mind gets churning and I'm trying to solve the problems and I know I can't. It's just keeping me awake. I talk to God and say, Lord, I know this is fruitless. I'm not going to solve these problems. Would you help me to just put these aside, these thoughts, and we'll deal with this in the morning. Okay, Lord? And you know what? Let me get some sleep. And when I pray it, because sometimes I just get into my thoughts and I just keep on going and going and going and going and going and going and going. And, going. And then 3 hours later, the alarm goes off, and right then I feel like I can sleep. Do you ever have that? Yeah. I just, when it goes off, I could sleep now. And then I'm blitzed for the whole day. But you know what? Pray specifically. And when we pray, let's remember there's no request too big for God to handle. And there's no request too little for His fatherly care. And remind me of that lady that went to G. Campbell Morgan, famous preacher in the past, and she said, Pastor Morgan, should we pray about the little things in our lives? And he said, Madam, what in your life is big to God? There's nothing in our lives big to God. We should pray about everything, right? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Don't worry, do pray. Can you say that with me? Don't worry, do pray. Okay, this side, you're the don't worries, you're the do pray. Ready?
Don't worry, do pray. Don't worry, do pray.
That's what he says. That's it. That's it. But before we leave this section, there's two little words that are very important here. He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what?
Thanksgiving.
That's important. With thanksgiving. We're to be thankful. And you know, if you're a Christian, we always have something to be thankful for. I'll tell you, you say, what can we thank God? What did Paul thank God for? Thank God for God. Thank God for God. Thank God that we have the God of the Bible. Amen? Amen? He's good. He is all wise. He is all knowing. He is loving. He is kind. He is gracious. He is merciful. He is in control. Thank God for God. And we can always thank God for our salvation, can't we? Do you see verse 3 in your Bible? Look at verse 3. Right at the end, he said, your names are written where? In the book of life. Is your name written in the book of life?
Yes.
I'll tell you what. Praise God, amen? I'm thankful that my name's written in the book of life. You know what else Paul was thankful for? He was thankful for the body of Christ. He says in chapter 1, verse 3, he said, I always give thanks in every remembrance of you. I'll tell you what, I am thankful for this church. I'm thankful for the people of this church. No, we're not perfect. No, we have a long way to grow. Yeah, we have a lot of stuff in our lives. But I'll tell you what, I thank God for the body of Christ. I thank God for the family that we're in. I'll tell you what, thank God for His people. And another thing he was thankful for, he was thankful for all the provisions of God. He said, you know what? God's provided all my needs. And my God is able to provide for all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad for his provisions?
Yes.
He provides for us. I'll tell you what, he daily loads us with his benefits. We have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. He blesses us. Every day he blesses us. Amen? I woke up today, looked in the paper, in the obits, and my name wasn't in there. Praise God. He gave me breath today. He give you breath?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. We can thank him. Amen? He's given us life. I thank God almost every night when I go to lay my head on my pillow. And I often say, Lord, you had no place to lay your head, and I can lay my head down here. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for sleep. Thank you, God, every day when I have my rolled oats in the morning. It's a visitation from you. There are people that don't have that around the world. Thank you, God, for providing. There's always something to thank God for. And if we want to overcome worry in our lives, we have to praise the Lord. We have to pray to the Lord with thanksgiving. And I'll tell you what, it tends to lift that worry right off. Let me give you a testimony. And I've probably shared this before, but it was so powerful in my life that I'll just never forget it. It was when I was at the end of seminary. And it was coming down to crunch time. We were graduating that month. And all of a sudden it hit me, I don't have a job. Now, why it didn't hit me before then, I don't know. But everybody was candidating and everybody was getting placed in churches or in schools where they were going to teach. And I hadn't even candidated. And I thought, oh my, I don't have a place to go when I graduate. My wife's pregnant with our first child. What am I going to do? And I'll tell you, it just, all of a sudden, there was a load on my shoulder. I thought, oh no. And I got real worried. And everything started churning and everything. But I'll never forget the day that I was worried. And I went into my living room and I opened up the Bible to Philippians 4. And I read these verses. And God spoke to me. Now, I don't always hear the voice of God, but I have heard the voice of God in my heart, and he spoke to me. And what he said just blew my mind, because he said, Les, I want you to tear verses 6 and 7 out of your Bible. What? I want you to tear verses 6 and 7 of chapter 4 out of your Bible. And I said, God, I can't tear those out of my Bible. That's your word. And he said, Les, if those verses are not true, I want you to tear them out of your Bible. But if they are true, start living them.
Amen.
And a peace that's beyond understanding. A peace came melting down over me, and I felt the presence of God, and there was no worry, and I knew God was going to come through. That's not the end of the story, because the next Sunday, I was scheduled to preach in our church. I was the intern pastor, Jeremy, and the pastor and I were sitting up in front, and he leans over to me right before I'm going to preach, and he said, I don't want to concern you or worry you, but I think that's Dr. George Sweeting, the president of Moody Bible Institute, just walked in. Well, thanks for telling me. I thought, you know, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is here. So what's to fear? So I got up and preached. And Dr. George Sweeting, if any of you have ever met him or known him, he had a gift of encouragement. And after the service, he came up to me and he said, young man, God spoke to my heart today as you preached. and I have some things I want to give you. And he went out to his car and he brought some books in. He had signed them and he gave me several of his books. I still have them on my shelf in my study. And he said, I want you to be my guest down at the Moody Pastors Conference the next week. And so I went down to the Moody Pastors Conference, and it was there that I was able to hook up with a group of men who had come from Cuyahoga Falls looking for a pastor. And I was called to come down to candidate, and that's how I got to this area. God was in control. I was worried. God said, listen, and maybe he says this to us. Do you believe this verse? Be anxious for nothing. All things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The peace of God that passes understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. Do you believe that? Yes. If you don't believe it, tear it out of your Bible. But if you believe it, let's live like we believe it. Amen. Amen. To overcome worry, we need to praise the Lord. Two, we need to pray to the Lord. Three, we need to ponder the word of the Lord. Look at verse 8. Ponder the word of the Lord. Folks, the mind is very important when it comes to worry. That's why it says that he will guard your heart and your mind. That word guard is a military term. Garrison your heart, your emotions, and your mind. And the word mind in the book of Philippians, it's used 10 times mind, 5 times the word think, 1 time the word remember. What we allow into our minds is very important when it comes to worry or overcoming worry. We put negative information, worldly thoughts into our minds, we're more likely to struggle with worry. I'll tell you what, you watch TV? I'm going to tell you, the stuff that's on TV today, it's pretty much garbage. It's negative. You watch the news? You watch CNN? Continual negative news. And then we wonder why we worry. You know, CNN, and interesting. When our son Chris was going to Iraq, and Linda remember this, we drove down to Delaware, Ohio, because that's where they were leaving from. And they had a ceremony there, and then the commanders of his unit, of his division there, took all the parents aside. And you know what they told us? Don't watch CNN. Didn't they, Linda? MSNBC, don't watch. Because a lot of what they report, now this is what they said, and Linda confirmed this, what they report is not what's happening on ground. In fact, what they were saying, and they didn't use this term, the term today is what? Fake news. Don't watch them. If you watch them, they said, you are going to be really anxious. You're going to be overcome with anxiety if you watch those news reports. Because, and let me tell you, what they report is not what's actually happening on ground. So you see, what we put in our mind, it makes a big difference as far as whether we worry or not. So what should we put in our mind? He tells us, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise. And I like the King James. I think King James says, think on these things. Mine says, dwell on these things. I think it's the Message version that says, fill your minds and meditate on these things. Do you know each one of those little phrases is a description of the Bible? Did you know that? Let me give you some verses on that. The word of God is true. Psalm 119, verse 160, the sum of thy words is truth. It is honorable, Psalm 119, verse 20, 129. It is right, Psalm 119, verse 28, 128. It is pure, Psalm 119, verse 140. It is lovely, Psalm 119, verse 127. It is of good repute, Psalm 119, verse 39. It is excellent, Psalm 138, verse 2. It is worthy of praise, Psalm 56, verse 4. Verse 8 says, think on these things. Get this book in your mind. Someone told me even this morning, I don't forget who it was. I don't know how you can live unless you start out every morning with the Word of God. Get it in your mind. Think on these things. Meditate on these things. This is truth. Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Let it dwell in you richly. I'll tell you what, that is so important to head off worry each day, to dive into God's word before you dive into life. It's important. Ponder God's word. Ponder the truth of his word. And I'll tell you, he will drive the enemy of worry away and give you victory. Amen. So what do we need to do? Praise the Lord. Pray to the Lord with thanksgiving. Ponder the word of the Lord. And then number four, practice the principles of the Lord. See verse 9. It's not just enough to read or to meditate on or memorize Scripture. You've got to practice it. We need to be obedient to the teachings of Scripture and apply them to our lives and our families. You know what we need to do? We need to Nike the Bible. Amen. Just what? Do it. Nike the Bible. By applying Scripture to our lives and living it out in the real world, sometimes, you know what? That can be tricky. You know what helps us to do that? It helps us to see someone do that, have a model. Doesn't it help?
Yep.
You know, see what Paul says here? The things you have learned and received and heard and seen where? In me? Practice these things. Practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. You know, it helps to be able to see the Word of God modeled. And I'll tell you what, that's where the body of Christ comes in. I thank God for the saints in this church. Some older, some of the older saints, some of the young guys, young ladies that are in love with Jesus. And they model. You can watch their lives. Are they perfect? No. But they're living out the Word of God. Do we need that?
Yes.
Do your children need that, parents?
Yes.
Oh my, they need to see it. Not be just, you do this. No. Let me see it in your life.
Amen.
It helps. So, you know, that the body of Christ, getting with senior saints, getting with people on fire for the Lord, and seeing it walked out, that helps us. Paul says, as I follow Christ, what? Follow me. You can't see Jesus, but they could see Paul. As I follow Christ, follow me. Practice these things. Let's be doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Let's do this, he says. Let's do it. And another good thing, another practical thing you can do, read biographies of great Christian men and women. Oh, that's good. You read of these great Christian men and women and how they put their life on the line for Christ. And men, we say, you know what? Lord, help me to be like that. Help me to practice. Help me to put this Bible. I want a Bible, Lord, that's bound in shoe leather. I want to walk this out. And as we watch and we look at others as examples, it helps us and encourages us to live for the Lord. And he says, these things you've heard and seen in me, practice these things. And Paul taught them spiritual truths, but then he modeled it before his disciples. And when we get to be worried, we need to put the Bible into practice. Put what we know into practice. And the God of peace will be with us. Not only will God calm our hearts and give us peace, but he himself will be with us. And if God is with us and if God is for us, why do we need to worry? Why do we need to worry? We don't need to worry. Do we really believe? Do you believe that?
Yes.
If you don't believe it, tear verse 9 out of your Bible. But if you believe it, let's live it. Let's Nike it. Let's do it.
Amen.
There's a story about a little girl. And she was traveling with her mother on a train. This is a toddler. And this little toddler's looking out the window of the train. And she's just enjoying all the scenery and everything. But she looked up ahead and she saw a river. And she turned to her mother and said, "Mommy, Mommy, there's a river up there, and this train is going to go into that river, and we're going to die." You know, toddlers can be a little expressive. And the mother said, no, honey, no need to worry. You'll see. It'll be all right. And they got to the river, and there was a bridge. And they went over the bridge. And the little girl sighed a sigh of relief. And everything was okay until they came to another river up ahead. And she saw the river and she said, "Mommy, Mommy, there's a river up ahead. And this train is going to go into that river and we're going to die." And the mother said, "Honey, you don't need to worry. It's going to be okay. You'll see." And they got up to the river again, another bridge. And they went over the river. Happened one more time. And when they got to that third river, the little girl turned to her mommy and said, "Mommy, we don't have to worry. Someone's put bridges all the way." You know what? We don't have to worry. Someone's put bridges all the way, folks. Our Lord. We don't have to worry. What we need to do is praise the Lord. We need to pray to God with thanksgiving. We need to ponder the Word of God. And then we need to put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with us. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, we just bow before you today and forgive me, Lord, and forgive us when we worry. Lord, we get our eyes off of you and onto our situations or onto our weakness. And Lord, we doubt you, God. And we commit the sin of worry. But Lord, as we go, Lord, this week, and as we get to a place where we're going to tend to worry, help us to do what we heard today. To praise you. To pray with thanksgiving. To just ponder the Word of God. All the truths and all the promises. And help us, Lord, to practice the principles that we know are true. We don't want to tear anything out of our Bible, Lord. We know it's true. Help us to live it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.